Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And on this week's podcast, it's one of the biggest showdowns you could ever have. I'm not talking Veep versus girls. It's Batman versus Superman.
Boom. And I have, Jonathan, a special guest with us today for the podcast. An expert guest. It's Wonder Woman!
how did you find her? How did you...
She just rocks up. Just rocks up where she wants to. So just like the movie, she's just going to sort of stand pretty quietly during this podcast and not really have any comments.
Convenient moments. Pop in for any plot point contribution throughout the podcast. And... Is that the Wonder Woman theme?
Yeah, that's the Wonder Woman theme.
That's how you know she's nearby.
Yeah. Isn't that so different to any other music in the movie?
It's pretty good. People always talk about wanting their own theme. And Wonder Woman actually got hers.
Yeah. Mm. So, this movie, huge.
Yeah,
box office, massive interest. Hi.
YouTube views for the trailer they probably made as much off the opening weekend as they did off those YouTube views, man. That advertising money, that's cash money, man.
What's the appeal? Why was there so much appeal to this movie?
Well, we love a showdown. We didn't even have to pit them against each other. We didn't have to take Silicon Valley or Veep or girls like our HBO showdowns. They wrote that into the film. They took the uber popular Batman who's definitely saw a resurgence. I mean, I feel like throughout my lifetime, Batman's always been a very popular superhero, if not the most popular. But really, especially with Batman Begins, The Dark Knight. And The Dark Knight Rises, which I was controversially not a fan of, the third one, loved The Dark Knight, really sort of brought Batman to the top of the superhero pile. And then Superman, who I guess, I don't know, he's kind of just, in some ways, he's the model superhero, but I don't think our generation thought he was as cool as Batman. But I liked Man of Steel. I think I liked it a bit more than you did. I thought the last Superman... movie was pretty good, so two heavyweights raring to go.
Yes, no, I agree. I just, on the record, completely agree with you with The Dark Knight Rises. I may have not expressed that clearly enough.
When we were on the record on a podcast, you did not agree with me.
Yeah, but I agree it was a pretty awful movie. I think I've amended my 9 out of 10 score to a 4 out of 10.
Oh, mate, that's got to be one of the biggest amendments of all time.
Yes.
It goes Matt's opinion on The Dark Knight Rises and then the First Amendment. That's the order.
It was not great. But... we've got our friend Bass was quite the fan of it, an unamended 9 out of 10 or whatever he gave it. And he was interested in joining us for this podcast to give us his opinion. He's probably the biggest Batman fan we know.
Yeah, he's as blind as a Batman fan.
Yes. So he said he'd make the time, and I said, we might be doing it when you got work on, and he said he might not be able to do it then. So I'll send him a text now so he's in the loop, and if he wants us to give him a call at some point in the next sort of 20, 30 minutes, we can do it. So I'm sending Bass Signal, doing the Batman... Oh, wait, I spelt it wrong. Batman vs. Superman podcast now... want us to give you a call.
Glad you corrected that spelling error. He's like, the Hatman vs. Superman podcast, not interested.
Yes. The next... Now we know, when the bat signal goes up, Batman comes to invade the city. We'll see if when the bass signal goes out, whether he will come.
And he's going to have his own theme song as well. I guess whatever your phone's ringtone is, because when that goes off, we know that Baz is nearby.
Yes, I better have my phone on noise so I can not miss the text back from Baz. Okay. Great. So,
we know there's buzz, there's people, there's hyped, there's YouTube views, but people care what are our expectations. Whether we were excited, what were we thinking going into the film?
I agree. What were yours?
Now, I really like Zack Snyder. I thought both Man of Steel and Watchmen were pretty underrated. I really enjoyed both of those, and I think they had a couple of writers for this, but David S. Goyer, I believe, is one of them, and he wrote The Dark Knight and a bunch of other really good action movies going back into the 80s and 90s, and he's a big comic book fan, so that's a good pairing in my mind. I think superheroes that I like, director that I like, writer that I like, I don't know, man. I was looking forward to it. I thought the trailer was pretty good. I was a couple of those YouTube views, man. I was pretty hyped.
I am not a fan of the premise of this movie because I'm a big Batman fan, and the reason I like Batman so much is I think the grittiness and like sort of edge that it's got to it in that like it's this dark city. There are these interesting, very captivating villains.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman's sort of this man who has to figure out how to beat them. And it's sort of like, it's not too massive a, like, world or universe. And I like that that's the case. And with this, I was a bit like, like, not really interested. Like, Superman's an alien. It all of a sudden turns a very, like, city-based story into a very universal type story, very literally universal, and I sort of thought it might not be great. That being said, I thought it could be a fun movie to watch, some good fight scenes, some good showdowns. So I wanted to sort of separate my sort of love for Batman and sort of my issue with the premise from my actual enjoyment of this movie, and I went in looking for a good time.
I think you raised an interesting point. I think my perspective on, I guess, like, conflict or tension between characters that I like is something that I'm not a fan of. In sitcoms or things where there's a couple and you want them to get together and there's a lot of will they, won't they, or they get together and then they have problems and then they break up. I'm not a fan of that. It's never my favorite part of a show. So if I like Batman and I like Superman, I probably don't want them to be fighting. And this might come up again in the Civil War. I think that's going to be a similar kind of premise. But in my mind, I think it's more fun when you get the band back together. You know, the premise of the Avengers and the Blues Brothers and that kind of movie is usually more what I'm a fan of. So we'll see whether this film managed to pull me around on that premise and whether it was a good reason for them to go head-to-head, and whether that was an interesting battle between the two.
Should we do a deep dive now into the movie and talk about maybe some of the spoilers and things like that, but actually talk about what goes down? It's going to be hard for us to talk about this movie without actually saying who wins between Batman and Superman.
All right, so we're going to give our spoiler alert. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
We take no responsibility from this point in you being spoilt about what happens in the movie.
Now, but I believe that's legally binding. The screen verdict spoiler alert is free of all responsibility.
You cannot say you were not warned unless for some reason you skipped to the 15-minute mark of our podcast or something and decided you wanted to listen from there.
So,
maybe some people do that. They waffle on a bit at the beginning. Like, they don't really start talking about the movie for a good 10 minutes.
Well, unless you've missed this bit because you've skipped even further forward, let us know whether you like to listen to the podcast from the beginning or not. Go to facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast and tell us what your favorite point of the podcast to start listening from is on the Facebook page. So the film. We start off with, it seems like the end, I guess sort of like the aftermath of the battle that we saw in Man of Steel.
Yeah, little do we know Bruce Wayne is zipping around in his car while all that's going down.
Yeah, and that big boss fight at the end, one of those buildings that gets smashed into by alien fight carnage, was owned by Mr. Wayne, and he gets a call from, I don't know, isn't he speaking to someone? Oh, the building's going down! He's like, I'll be there for you, and then, oh, I didn't make it.
Yes, and so I think Bruce Wayne did not like that all his employees and building collapsed. And I think there was another guy I worked for him that lost his legs or something, and he was quite emotional about that too. And I think, like, as a result, Bruce Wayne is probably not a huge Superman fan. He sort of blames Superman for bringing that trouble on Metropolis, which was sort of a point I think we made when we talk about Man of Steel. If it hadn't been for Superman, there wouldn't have been that whole issue with the aliens coming to Earth and blowing up buildings and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I don't think Superman's in the position where I don't think he chose to come to Earth in the first place.
Mm.
But then once he's there, because he can just fly off into the atmosphere or whatever, I guess he has the choice to leave. So he did sort of bring the trouble to Earth, but not intentionally. But once the trouble was there, I don't know, if he didn't do anything about it, if the aliens felt like it, they could have just wiped out Earth. So,
yeah.
It's a tough one for him.
I think my perspective is you shouldn't blame Superman for what happened, but probably like acting like he's a hero for saving them from a crisis that really is the result of himself is probably going a little too far the other way. But I think you should be like, okay, I'm glad he sort of sorted that out because that was really his issue to deal with.
It's like you're going out with your girlfriend, you got a nice day planned, you're going to go to the park, you're going to have a nice picnic, eat some good food out on the blanket, and you get there, and then you left the picnic box at home.
Mm.
So then you're like, don't worry, I'm going to take care of this. And then you go to the nearest shop and get some stuff, and you make like a nice plan, and you run back as quick as you can, and you save the day. You're the hero. But really, I mean, you created the problem in the first place by forgetting the picnic box.
Yeah, so the girl shouldn't act like that was amazing. Like, if you saw a status update from that girl going, oh, I've got the best boyfriend in the world. He went and got, like, the picnic stuff because he left the thing at home. You're sort of like, boy, he just, like, really just recovered well from his own mistake. It's not a great, like, stop bragging about how amazing this boyfriend is on Facebook.
Yeah, doesn't sound like Steve's a hero. It sounds like Steve broke even.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, like, my view on Superman, if I was a member of Metropolis, would be like, oh, yeah, he did a good job there, but let's not get carried away with it. It's not like there was this evil guy terrorizing our community and Superman sort of came in and helped us. It's sort of like, well, all these aliens wanted to kill him, so he took care of them.
Hmm. What I thought it found interesting about this was Bruce Wayne thinking, you know what, I'm just going to objectively take a moment to analyze all of my adventures that I've had throughout Gotham over the years, and I'm pretty sure I haven't caused any collateral damage. No property damage, no injuries, no health concerns. I'm pretty sure that when I've been fighting evil, I kept it strictly between me and the bad guys. Because he definitely seemed to resent Superman for some of the problems that he caused.
Yeah, and this, I guess, and Superman is not a big fan of Batman either.
Yeah, so I guess there's sort of two, I mean, there might be more, but there seem to be two main reasons why they didn't seem to like each other. I mean, my perspective to start off with is like, they're both doing the same job or a similar job, right? They have like special abilities or whatever. They have like a costume. They have a name. They have notoriety. And they're doing it in the name of good. They might go about it a bit differently. But you'd think that they would be able to understand the other person's perspectives. Like, the grey areas of the job that comes with being a superhero. But they seem to resent something that both of them do. Superman resents Batman because, you know, he goes too far. He's branding people. You know, he's putting a bat burn onto people. Ooh, that's torture. Yeah, if he brands you, that means you did something bad, like you were a child molester or something. And that means once you go to jail, that's like a death signal. If you go to jail with the bat signal on you, that's a death. You're a child molester. You're gonna get beaten up or murdered in jail anyway. What does it matter that you got branded with a... I don't feel guilty for the child molester for having a brand on them.
Yeah, prisoners are pretty crafty at figuring out what the other prisoners are in there for.
Yeah, they have TVs. They have people outside to get visits that have TVs. Like,
yeah. Anyway.
So that's one thing that Superman resents Batman for. Why does Batman resent Superman other than all the property damage he caused?
I think he says Superman is too big a risk. Like, he's too powerful.
Does he have a reason not to trust Superman?
I don't think so, other than look at all those aliens that came to blow him up. Like, what's to stop another planet from just, I don't know, like, feel like he just sees Superman as this sort of unpredictable variable.
There was a line in the film where Batman is talking to who's his guy? It used to be Michael Caine. Who's not Michael Caine?
Alfred.
Was he playing Alfred? New Alfred.
Yeah, that guy was Alfred.
Baser Alfred. He's talking to Alfred, and he says, even if there's less than a 1% chance that he could turn against us, we need to destroy him. And I'm like, oof. I feel like we've heard some very similar arguments in the immigration debate.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, these refugees, if there's even a 1% chance that one of them's a bad apple, we need to get rid of all the refugees.
Yeah. Yes. No. Isn't that 1% a very low percentage to be making those sorts of things?
Now, I'm not making a stance on that statement, but I will say that I wouldn't have necessarily thought that Batman would agree with that logic in regards to such a situation. That came as a surprise to me.
You think Batman would not be as hardline on immigration views?
Yeah. if there's one thing that Batman hates, it's criminals and refugees.
We're not going to see Batman walking around with the "Make Gotham Great Again" yard signs or whatever. I thought that you brought up Alfred, and there's something I noticed about this Alfred that was quite different to the other Alfreds I've seen in Batman.
What was that?
He seemed quite concerned and a bit snarky about the fact Batman hadn't met a girl and had kids. Like, he really seemed like... There were two comments he made in the film. The first of which was, like, you've got to think about the next generation. Not that there's probably going to be a next generation for you. Or something like that. And he seemed a bit, like, snarky. And then at one point he goes, maybe some young woman in your dreams... some young woman in your dreams will make you honest or something like that. And then, like, or some woman you'll meet at this party tonight will make an honest woman of you. And then when Batman walks away, he just, like, says under his breath, in your dreams, Alfred. Like...
Which is funny because you'd think that Bruce Wayne getting a partner would be bad for Alfred's chances in the will. You'd think, I don't want to be bumped down the list in terms of inheritance. You stay single forever, Mr. Wayne.
Yes. Oh, you can't trust those women. Like, but it just seems so, like, it must have been, like, this Alfred just really, really wants Bruce Wayne to have a family and to have kids. Maybe he wishes he could help look after some of the kids for him and...
Live vicariously through Mr. Wayne.
Yeah, yes. Yes. Maybe Alfred never had grandkids of his own and would like to have some. And,
I miss my chance. Don't let it happen to you too.
Yeah. Anyway. So, there you go. There's something about Alfred that I thought was interesting. So
they don't trust each other. They don't think they're going things around the right way. So Superman is... His plan is to say, I'm just going to confront Batman and say, stop it. Get out of town, buddy. You're done. And then Batman's... His is a little bit more extreme. He says, I'm going to get some kryptonite. I'm going to kill Superman.
Yes.
And they're able to get their hands on that because something to do, I don't know, with the spaceship or something from the last movie, it ends up in the Indian Ocean, and Lex Luthor's people go hunting for it because they think it can be, I don't know, they can get ahead in the arms race or something like that. What did you think of Lex Luthor in the film played by Jesse Eisenberg?
This is interesting. I was speaking to a friend who saw the movie the other day. They said they thought it was the best thing about the movie, amazing. And then another friend the other day said it was a disaster. He was okay.
Trust Matt to split the difference.
Yeah. What did you think?
I loved him. I thought he was great. I thought his rambling at the party was just so off. He takes sort of that, evil genius villain type archetype character that they're familiar with, and then just sort of, takes it into this slightly different space all of his own. It's just like everything he says, the timing's just half a beat off, and the sentence just never quite goes where you're expecting it to, and you're always wondering, what is this guy thinking? So I thought he was a very intriguing character, and I thought the way that I don't want to skip too far ahead, but in general, I thought his plans were interesting. I'm like, okay, what's he going to do? How are they going to take this guy down?
Do you think it was weird that so he has this big party and he invites Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne to the party? Do you think it was weird when Clark and Bruce were chatting that, like, he went up and sort of was like, what an interesting meeting, the Bruce Wayne and the Clark Kent finally in the same room together. Like to us who know that they're superheroes, I guess that's sort of interesting meeting.
Yeah.
Does, like, some billionaire and just a, like, reporter for, like, the Boston Globe or whatever, Metropolis Times or whatever is meeting, it's really that big an event? Like,
yeah. At that point, did he know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe he did.
I don't know. Yeah, it's surprising how much some characters seem to know, like him and Wonder Woman, and yet it was surprising how little Batman and Superman seemed to... I feel like a lot of their issues could just be resolved if they talked it out.
Yeah, although that was quite an awkward, like, conversation at the party, wasn't it? Where Clark Kent said to Bruce Wayne, he's like, that Batman guy, what a joke. Like, what a guy just going around doing what he wants. You can't like that guy, can you? And like Bruce Wayne was sort of like, oh, I think he's like doing what he should be doing. Like, he's not like that Superman idiot or whatever. Like, I feel like the see Bruce Wayne way too defensive of Batman. Like, I think Bruce Wayne should almost be like, yeah, he is a bit of a clown. Like, just because, well, probably wrong word to describe Batman as, given his history with the Joker. But, like, you know, like, oh, he is a bit of a, yeah, I don't agree with him either. Isn't that a better cover to be the guy sort of, like, not defending Batman so passionately?
Yeah, so, well, here's the thing. You don't want to look suspicious. You know, you don't want to give away your identity as Batman. But you also don't want to contribute to, you know, losing the media war, the media spin on Batman. Because he's a reporter. He could be influential on the public perception of Batman. So, you know, he has to put up a little bit of a fight. Perhaps lacked subtlety in the end.
Like, maybe you should have said, I think Batman is making an important contribution to the city of Gotham. But honestly, Clark, off the record, yeah, I think he goes a bit too far sometimes.
It's, gotta love that off the record. Weird.
Yeah, just...
Can you do that with other people in your life? Like, with reporters, you can just be so, like, completely dishonest... And then just say, but on the record, and then be really, really honest. Like, I never say to you, like, Matt, like on the record, like, love the outfit, looks great, you're going to go out and kill it tonight. Off the record, you look like a complete knobhead. What are you doing? This is a total disaster.
And then I can't go to my friends and say, oh, Johnson was really mean to me. Because
it was off the record.
I can't, that'd be journalistic integrity. I think it is a journalist rule. I don't think you can just do it to anyone. I have used the off-the-record thing with people sometimes, though. When I've been at TV Academy Emmy events, and I've asked people who they're voting for, and when they sort of go, oh, you know, don't, you know, thinking it through, whatever, I then go to them, oh, off-the-record.
Not that you were writing an article in the first place.
No.
Has it ever worked?
Well, sorry?
Has it ever worked?
It's not like they were like, oh, yeah, okay, off the record, I was BSing you. But they will then be a little bit more open, like a little bit, well, I do like that show. I'll probably vote for that in some of the categories.
The power of off the record.
Off the record, yeah. I thought Lawrence Fishburne was an interesting head of the newspaper. I did not rate him just from... There was a guy graffitied the Superman. The guy lost his legs, graffitied the Superman statue saying, like, I don't know, fraud or something. I can't remember what it said. But anyway, Lawrence Fishburne, like, turns to, I don't know if it's Clark Kent or Amy Adams or whoever it is, and he says... He goes, okay, end of love affair with man on the sky, question mark? Like, it was the clunkiest, like, headline possible. Like, it was the longest, least, it, no hook or anything like that. And he was sort of saying, like, got it, perfect headline. End of love affair with man in the sky, question mark?
Normally, the type of person or character that they get in for that role is the sort of, like, the gruff, direct, older, senior guy that is going to butt heads with your main character, but he has, you know, he has his opinions and his, what's the word I'm looking for, like, his beliefs, and he's, you know, he's hard-headed, but he's going to stick by him because ultimately, you know, he believes in doing things the right way, the old way by the book. Whereas this guy was just like, okay, what would BuzzFeed do? What would BuzzFeed do? How are we going to sell papers? What's the trashiest, most controversial headline we could use?
Yeah. Oh, it was good. Bring back. Like, saying, okay, kid, we're writing Hero to Zero.
Bring back J.K. Simmons from Spider-Man.
The ball in the eyes of the city. I don't know. Anyway. So, here was my issue with the first big chunk of this movie, okay? What's the movie called?
Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Okay.
There's Batman a lot of dawn, a lot of dawn.
Yeah, dawn, yes. Batman versus Superman I'm gearing up for a showdown movie. I'm wanting these guys to be, like, you know, really get into it.
You must have really geared up. You were probably in about 12th gear by the time they got there.
Yeah. So, but to be honest, it didn't even seem like they were that passionately against. Like, it seemed like the first, I don't know, 1 hour, 40 minutes of the movie was more as like a high school, like, angsty teenage sort of thing. Like, it seemed like just a lot of bitching about each other. Like, oh my gosh, can you believe that superhero in the other city? Can you believe what he's doing? All those buildings collapse, all that collateral damage. What a jerk. I don't know why people even like him. And then you cut over to Metropolis and like, can you believe that superhero in the other city? Oh my gosh, he's just doing whatever he wants. He's like not following the superhero etiquette. He's like just thinks he can arrest people when he wants and operate outside the law, and he's got that stupid little light. I don't think he should use that. What are you doing using a light for? Just go to the thing. Like, it just seemed like a lot of bitchiness rather than actual versing.
Yeah, and it could have, instead of an hour and 40 minutes for that, could have been an hour and 20 minutes of that if they cut out those dream sequences.
Yes. Were there dream sequences? I can't even remember that.
Oh, yeah, there's like a whole thing where Bruce Wayne, he keeps on dreaming stuff. Like the opening's a dream, and then he's dreaming, he's at his desk, and he's waiting for something to download, and then he has a dream where he gets like attacked by all these kind of like troops with like S's on them as if they work for Superman. Then he wakes up, and then some guy comes through like some portal to tell him some like important information. And then he wakes up out of that. It was like a dream within a dream, man. Just as the thing that he's downloading gets to 100%, conveniently.
Are we just dealing with this movie too, just incredibly insecure superheroes that are taking out their frustrations on another superhero that they feel embodies the sort of qualities that they wish they had?
Yeah, but like, what does it take to feel secure in yourself? You got billions of dollars, you got all these cool gadgets, you got a good best friend in Alfred, you know, people seem to like you, you're always doing good work. I mean, it's not easy work, but it has value, and yet it's just not enough, man.
Yeah, he's not as hot as Superman and can't do all the things that Superman can do. And then Superman's probably feeling like, I'm a sort of alien. I wish I was a human who was a bit more relatable. Like, and I don't know. I feel like you could have a very similar script for a movie about two high school teenage girls who didn't like each other. It's like a Mean Girls 2 or something like that. It's probably not too different from this movie, really.
But they do end up fighting eventually. We do get to a showdown.
Yeah, they get to it. They get down to it.
And I can't even remember how he gets it, but Batman gets a hold of some kryptonite.
I think Lex Luthor gave it to him.
Hmm.
Like, hey, Batman, here's Superman. Doesn't like this. Maybe you want to kill him with it.
I think this is one of the reasons why I always liked Batman more growing up. Just because, you know, episodes of the show or whatever would vary so much because you had the Joker, the Riddler, the Penguin, and, you know, they'd come back. They'd be recurring. But they were, you know, different villains and recurring plots and schemes and ways that they'd try and do something evil or take down the Batman. Whereas Superman, he's invincible, he's immortal, except Kryptonite. So every plot ever to take down or battle Superman is, if they can get a hand their hands on Kryptonite, that they might be able to do something. But that's it. That's the only plan that anybody ever has. So it's boring.
It's sort of like going into this movie, okay, Batman versus Superman, who's going to win? And you're sort of like, well, if Batman doesn't get Kryptonite, Superman probably wins. If Batman gets Kryptonite, then Batman probably wins. It's like really just...
Or do they... Or do they resolve their issues over a shared relative name?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, they fight. Did you like, okay, up until that bit, did you enjoy the fight scene?
You know, I did. I mean, I didn't really buy into the premise of why they were fighting, but just for an action scene for action scene's sake, yeah, it was pretty good in terms of the visuals, the fighting. Like, it was visually entertaining.
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah. I didn't hate the fight scene. And then it ends in Batman is about to kill Superman. He's got the spear with kryptonite on the other end, right over Superman's face. Superman is already being gassed with kryptonite, so he can't fight back at this point. It's all a done and dusted. You would say that Batman did win the fight, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if you had to declare who actually got the best of who in the fight, it was Batman. But then they figure out that what, their mum had the same name?
Yeah, Batman has his foot on Superman's throat and Superman says something like, "Save Martha!" And then Batman's really going to say, "Why'd you say her name?" He's like, "Save Martha!" And then, what's her face? Amy Adams runs in. It's like, "It's his mum! Just say we need to save his mum! That's why he was doing this! Oh, Lex Luthor has his mum! We need to save his mum!" He's like, "But that's my mum's name!" Oh! And just throws away the spear.
Yeah. Give each other a hug or something, maybe. I can't remember. Yeah. What an awful way for that fight to end.
I've seen a lot of people criticize this, think it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, you know, if you're getting into a fight with someone who's supposedly, you know, your mortal enemy, you storm the bunker or something, you find Hitler, you point the gun at him, and he's like, "Okay, but before I go, give this to Suzanne." And I'm like, "But my mum's name's Suzanne. I can't shoot Hitler anymore."
Something Hitler, yeah.
And 2 weeks later, we're best friends. We're like, "Well, Suzanne Cook, meet Suzanne Hitler."
Yeah. Yeah.
What a coincidence, right? Crazy.
Does that mean if you ever are worried that you're going to be in a fight with someone, you should figure out what their mum's name is? Is that your get out of jail free card of just dropping it if you're about to get killed, just dropping the name of their mum?
Well, I gotta say, I really doubt that would be effective.
Look, doesn't humanize you in their eyes.
Well, here's the thing. I think just, you know, between other people fighting over whatever that is irrelevant. Who cares what your mum's name is? It's a coincidence. I'm going to kill you anyway. In defense of the scene, I think Batman has not really seen Superman as a human. He's seen him as this alien that just looks like a human, and he's too powerful and too dangerous. And the fact that in all, you know, in the culmination of this big fight, he isn't thinking about himself. He's thinking about somebody else who is a human. You know, makes him sort of second guess his how he's judged Superman. So,
okay,
as silly as the scene sort of is slash seems, I did see an intention there that made sense.
I have ethical issues with trying to defend this scene, but like that being said, I will also add to that that maybe what they were intending was that that is the moment, by realizing they've got a mum with the same name, that is the moment by which they sort of, for Batman at least, he's able to realize, hey, we've got more in common, right? Like, he'd be focused on what's different about us two, and it helped Batman see, actually, we're not too different. We both have a mum with the same name. We're both superheroes. We both wear capes, you know? Like, I wonder if it's like, made him realize other things that were the same about them.
He's changed his vote. He's seen the other side of things.
Yeah.
He loves the refugees.
Yeah. Now, This all being said, then Batman goes and saves Martha. He saves the mum, which led to what I thought was the most ridiculous line of the movie.
What was that?
So he turns to Martha and says, "I'm a friend of your son's."
Short-term friend, not been friends a very long time.
Now, at what point, like, they were enemies trying to kill each other, like, I know, like, less than half an hour ago. Do you go from mortal enemies to friends? Like, surely there are levels between the mortal enemies. There's a great Flight of the Conchords episode where Murray's got the Friendship Realms graph up. And he sort of shows how you can go from sort of like, strangers, from enemies to strangers to colleagues to acquaintances to colleagues to workmates to friends, sort of thing. Now, I think that was very much an office environment, business environment sort of chart. Is it possible for, what are the levels that really Batman and Superman should have needed to go through between enemies and friends? Because I think Batman's, now all of a sudden, like, Superman's a friend of his, seemed a bit unbelievable to me.
Well, you referenced the plot being similar to that of an angsty rivalry between two high schoolers, and you can totally picture a rivalry between, say, two girls that are on camp. They're enemies the whole time, they're rivals, they're trying to prank each other, embarrass each other, and they're fighting the whole film. And then, right at the end of the film, one of them makes a reference to, like, the Golden Girls. And they're like, what? And like, yeah, it's Blanche, my favorite character from the Golden Girls. Like, Blanche is my favorite character from the Golden Girls. And then they realize they're not so different, and by the end of it, like, they're best friends, and they come home, and they're like, oh, can my former enemy stay for a sleepover? We're best friends now.
What 15-year-old girls like the Golden Girls?
Bunny, did you like the Golden Girls when you were 15?
I don't remember.
Alright, so don't remember. And the answer to that question is still hanging in the balance.
Okay. Oh my god. I think you're so right. It's very teenage angst, sort of like going from hating each other to being best friends with the person. So maybe further proves my theory that this film could have easily been Charlotte versus Tiffany. Yeah.
Come together as best friends, and what is the final obstacle to overcome as said best friends?
A giant alien that Lex Luthor made that is unbeatable.
Yeah, so I didn't entirely understand it. It was something about the spaceship and the artificial intelligence or some sort of life form or something with the blood from Zod in the water and the... Totally lost me. I don't think it matters.
Understanding or interest or both?
Both. Just...
I agree.
There was an A to B and a C. I didn't understand B, but we got from A to C. He had a plan to make a bad guy, and we go to C, and there's some alien orc-looking thing that seemingly, the more you shoot at it, the more powerful it becomes.
I spoke to someone about this the other day saying, didn't really like the alien fighting scene. They're like, oh, which one was the alien? was that the Jesse Eisenberg guy? he created the alien. Remember when he gave his sort of like the blood and I think I remember it.
So, look, this guy seemed pretty powerful. Probably too powerful for Batman to take down on his own, or Superman. Or maybe even Batman and Superman. It's time to play the music.
Yeah, I was, sorry. So in comes our friend Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman with the sweet lasso rope thing.
Yep.
And she ties him up real good. That line's, what is it? Superman. Lines up Superman to get the spear in what seemingly is a kamikaze attack on the alien to drive the spear through him and himself. I feel like he could have shown a little bit more self-preservation, but I guess he wanted to do it heroically. He's Superman after all.
Yeah.
Was this a satisfying conclusion to the fight for you?
No, I don't really care about Superman and Batman fighting some big alien thing. It seems silly. I was so over the movie by this point. It was something that I had no interest in going into the movie of some alien battle. Did it do anything for you?
You know, I thought as an... Like the Batman vs. Superman scene, I liked it in terms of the action. I liked it visually. But I guess I just wasn't really involved in the characters or story at that point because I just hadn't really bought into the premise in the first place. And I didn't... Well, here's the thing. I guess I still liked Superman and I didn't really want him to die. I thought, he's Superman. You can't kill Superman.
Well, especially when they're doing, another movie, aren't they? They're doing, a Justice League one with Superman in.
Well, that's the question. So they get the alien. They get Lex Luthor, thanks to teamwork. Yeah, from Amy Adams, Wonder Woman.
Sorry.
And the film ends with the funeral. They killed Superman at the funeral of Superman.
It's an Iago move. Iago from Return of Jafar move, if ever I've seen one.
I thought, we've ripped off Mean Girls.
Yeah.
We've ripped off the orc-looking thing from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
What can we do? How are we going to finish this? How are we going to make this as epic as can be? What is the best ending that we could possibly rip off Aladdin Return of Jafar? They probably don't have to think too much of it. I mean...
Yeah.
My first screenplay is going to be a Return of Jafar ripoff. That's just sort of the go-to.
Different enough that you don't run into legal issues.
Might have to delete a few podcasts.
Yeah. But I think what's quite interesting is I think with Return of Jafar, Iago, you think he's dead for about 20 to 30 seconds. I'll get the clock on that at some point for future references. So I feel like the big the Return of Jafar challenge is to see how long you can drag on that dead fake out scene. How long can you keep a movie going thinking a character's dead when they're not actually dead?
Well, if they do a new season of Breaking Bad, it's going to be 3 or 4 years. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, that's a pretty brutal 20 or 30 seconds when you're a four-year-old, five-year-old, watching.
Especially since you've gone through this journey of Iago, who's really been weighing up his inner morality. When you've been dealing with such weighty psychological, emotional issues, for it to end like that, those 30 seconds are brutal.
Did it have the same effect in Batman vs. Superman?
Well, I think I heard they're making this Justice League movie, so I didn't think he was dead at all, ever.
Could they do a Justice League without Superman?
I don't think they would.
Nah, I didn't buy it. I just thought, it's Superman. They're not... It's like... These films make literally hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't care how edgy they think that would be. Whether that would be a creatively... you know, dramatic or brave decision. They're not going to kill Superman. Studio heads make these decisions, and there's hundreds of millions of dollars in keeping Superman alive.
This was clear, like, and I got frustrated how long they were going on with these funeral scenes that we knew.
They had two of them. Two whole funerals.
We sat through a montage of two funerals knowing that Superman wasn't dead.
So the final shot, I guess, like the soil shakes. It's like this, like the spinning top in Inception, the little wobble, and that's the end of the film.
Great. I was pleased it was over.
Matt, what's your verdict?
Can I say this is, and I've made this complaint about other films before, it was very long.
I don't think there's ever been a film over 2 hours which you have not said it could have been shorter.
This could have been shorter. This movie's in slow motion.
Do you know what the original runtime of this was? Like, the original cut?
No.
I joke you not, 4 hours long.
4 hours? Did they just decide to have the whole film in slow motion originally?
I'd love to watch that, just...
Oh my gosh.
Curiosity.
If they ever release the 4 hour cut, Jonathan, do you want to do a commentary with me? We'll meet up when you're in Australia or when I'm in LA, and we'll sit through for the whole 4 hours and do a commentary of the movie.
Bring snacks. Bring survival supplies.
But we'll have to sort out bathroom situations and things like that. But boy, like, it was so long, and you could have, like, I reckon you could have done that movie in around 45 minutes. I reckon. And it wouldn't have been a great 45-minute movie. There was really very little redeemable about this film in my mind. It was trivial. It was angsty. As I said, it's like a high school thing with some stupid alien fight at the end. I didn't like... Ben Affleck was okay as Bruce Wayne. I know people being quite critical of Ben Affleck's casting. That is not where this film went off the rails. Like, that's just not the problem with the film at all. I think his Batman wasn't great. I think his voice was clearly, like, modified, like, by guys in the computer room. The computer room.
Go to the computer room and edit this movie.
Yeah, I don't know why his eyes lit up as well. I thought that's a bit weird. But anyway, Ben Affleck was fine as Bruce Wayne, and that wasn't the issue. Jesse Eisenberg was fine as the villain. It wasn't really the performances that were the issue. Amy Adams, as always, she did what she could. The story, the angst, the, like, very unsatisfying battle and the amount of time you took to get there, yada, yada, yada. I'm giving this film a 1.5 out of 10. It was just, right, I wasted my time.
Oh, man. Better or worse than Only God Forgives? If you had to watch one of them again, which would you watch?
Oh, what did I give Only God Forgives? Similar score?
Yeah, something pretty low.
See, this one was stupid bad, and Only God Forgives was pretentious bad.
Only God Forgives is shorter.
Yeah. I think that's Only God Forgives is shorter, but I feel like Batman vs. Superman, like, there was probably less pretension that it was great, so, like, maybe I'm a little bit more forgiving of that one, just because I'm like, well, they just made it to make money, really. Like, I'd probably have more fun watching Batman vs. Superman again.
Right.
The fast forward button would definitely be in play.
All right. My screen verdict for Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. I'll start with what I didn't like. I agree, it was too long. I thought the lead up to the actual confrontation took way too long. I didn't like any of the dream sequences. You could have saved about 10 minutes there, cut all of those. I didn't think Ben Affleck's Batman was great, but I agree it was probably more the writing than his performance. I thought a funny thing about Ben Affleck was he clearly got in awesome shape for this film. Like he must have worked out so hard for so long, just putting like 4 hours in the gym every day for like 9 months. And he got his shirt off for like 4 seconds. There was like a flash in a montage of him with his shirt off. Like, he must be just spewing. That was probably like the hour and 20 that they cut out to get this film down from 4 hours. It's like an hour of Ben Affleck with his shirt off. Sorry, ladies. What else didn't I like? I thought Amy Adams, I was torn on. I thought anything where she was on her own doing investigating or arguing on behalf of Superman or whatever, I thought she was really cool. She was really kick-ass. Like, she got the job done. But I thought whenever she was with Superman, she was so, like, whiny and like, no, don't do it. Are you sure? Oh, I don't want you to get hurt. Oh, please stay. Don't go. Like, I thought their relationship was, they're better off without each other.
What about that bath scene? That was really awkward.
ruined a perfectly good pair of slacks.
Yeah, like, who gets in the bath with their girlfriend fully clothed?
Superman's an alien. I don't think he knows how to do it properly. Nobody's told him. yeah, very strange.
Good thing Batman wasn't around to see that. So he would have had, he would have been definitely bitching about that with the girls the next morning.
We gotta kill this guy. He doesn't even take his clothes off when he gets in the bath. What sort of freak? How can we trust a man that doesn't even take his pants off when he gets in the bath?
I don't think he's even had sex before, guys.
You really want to get rescued by this loser?
Yeah.
What else did I like about the film? Just, the main thing was just the general... I didn't buy that Batman and Superman wouldn't trust each other. They wouldn't hate each other. Like, all they would have to do... I mean, surely they could relate to each other's experiences as superheroes. And they wouldn't have had to go to such extremes if they'd have just... had a conversation. I just thought the whole thing was very silly. I'll tell you what I did like about the film. I thought the opening was really good. I thought it was the visuals, like I thought it was quite stylish with the gun. As the like trigger gets pulled, it snaps the necklace and the pearls go all over the place. I think Zack Snyder as a director does have a very distinct style. And it really only showed in a couple of scenes, but I did think that opening was very well done. In general, I thought that all the action was pretty good. I mean, it was big budget, it looked good. It was entertaining. And you were kind of split on him, but I thought Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor was great. I thought he was a really good villain. Didn't really like the design of the alien so much, but other than that, I thought his performance, all his speeches, like him on the rooftop... yeah, very engaging, very, I think he was quite a memorable villain, so I enjoyed that a lot. Wonder Woman, I thought she was good. I'm kind of interested to see more of her in whatever it is, Justice League.
What? Hey now.
If we're lucky. So look, overall, I was very disappointed in the film, and I can sort of understand a bit of the backlash. But to be honest, I didn't think it was that bad. I just thought it was bad compared to expectation, and expectation was very high. So I'm going to do... This is almost like, you know how you amended your score? I'm trying to take that expectation into account and then amend my score following up on my first reaction.
Oh, a live amendment. premature,
preemptive amendment.
What, sorry?
A preemptive amendment.
A preemptive. That was the word I was looking for.
I'm gonna give this a very generous 6 out of 10.
Woo! Okay. There we go. This is the first time we've been this divided in a while.
Yeah. Very, And you're such a big Batman fan as well. Mm. You must be livid.
Well, like, one of the main reasons I like Batman so much is the villains in the Batman world, and we didn't have any of them in this.
Mm.
Like, I like to see Batman play mind games, like, have to deal with the psychological games of the Joker, or the political machinations of the Penguin, or the sort of sexual tension with Catwoman, rather than fight an alien, if that makes sense.
I would have found interesting to see Superman go up against a Riddler or a Joker or a Penguin.
Yeah.
Because that would have been a new dynamic.
And you know what? Jesse Eisenberg, I think, would be a good Riddler.
Yeah, I can see that.
They could have cast him as the Riddler, to be honest.
Yeah, and he wouldn't have to show his odd-shaped head.
Yep. Ding, 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 ding. So I am a bit excited for Suicide Squad, where you're going to get a few of these Batman villains in the mix.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Somewhat disappointed, somewhat divided. This has been a pretty controversial film. Let us know your thoughts. Go to facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast. Do you agree?
I would love to hear anyone's argument that it is not too long, this movie.
I'm sure there's someone.
There must be someone.
Zack Snyder, probably.
Why did they cut an extra couple of hours off this?
Zack Snyder saying, "What? God, like, it literally could not have been any shorter."
Yeah.
If I'd have had my way, you'd still be in the theater.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Anyway, yeah. Next podcast, Zootopia.
Zootopia, yes.
I liked it. I know we usually don't spoil verdicts, but I thought Zootopia was at least twice as good as Batman vs Superman. I am higher.
There's a 3 out of 10 floor for Zootopia. Yep. It's a 3 or higher from Matt.
Yes, I can guarantee that.
Very good. Well, we hope you enjoyed the podcast more than we enjoyed Batman vs Superman. Mm. And we'll catch you next week for Zootopia.
Yes. Bye.